Okay. Hello, everybody. Good to see you, Daniel. We've all been praying for you. What I want to share today is Jesus said something one time that I've never really had a full understanding of. And I feel like this last week he kind of shed a little light on it for me. So I want to talk about it. First, I'll say what the statement was. Jesus one time said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that's always been a little bit confusing to me. I can't say as I really totally understood that. And this last week, God was sort of leading me through that. And so I think I understand it better than I ever did now. So, one of the errors, I believe, in Christendom is the thought that we are no longer under the law because now it's the age of grace since the New Testament. Now, in my opinion, that's both true and not true because you can't, the law wasn't abolished. We can't just forget about the law. We can't say we're not under the law anymore as far as that goes. Jesus said, "Do you think I came to abolish the law?" He said, "I came to dot every I and cross every T." So Christ's life was a fulfillment of the law. And what actually happened was, there's a natural world and there's a spiritual world. The natural world is the one we live in. I mean, it's like this table right here that I'm sitting at. It's part of the natural world. The spiritual world is unseen, but it's very real. And one of the ways that helps me to know it's real is the radio. It's just amazing to me that you can turn that dial and in comes this music or somebody talking or whatever. And there you look up and it's like there's waves in the air going all over and we can't see them. But we know they're real because we can tune in and hear it. And so even though the spiritual world is unseen, we know it's real because we've experienced God in our life. We've seen it change the lives of not only ourselves, but others. So we know the spiritual world is real. But the scripture says, first the natural, then the spiritual. So what God did was he had all these natural people on the earth. We were all born a natural man, right? So he had all these natural people. So what he did in the Bible in the Old Testament was he spoke to us in the natural. So he created these laws, laws like thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, so forth and so on. So, but those laws, when the New Testament came, changed. And the way they changed was they became more stringent. So the general belief is we're no longer under the law. Now we're under something even more stringent. And we're gonna talk about that. I'll give you a couple examples. For instance, the law that said thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, so the way that changed when Jesus came on the scene in the New Testament, it wasn't only that we're not supposed to do that anymore. He said, now, if you so much as look on a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. So you see how that law went from don't do it to don't even think about it. So that's an example of how the law became actually more stringent when we went into the New Testament. And I want to give a couple other examples too, for instance, like tithing. God said in the law, you're supposed to give a tenth of your income to him. But when we cross over into the New Testament, now all your money is supposed to belong to God. And we're just a manager of it. And he might tell you to give 10% or 5% or 50%. So those are all ways, circumcision is another one. He says, all male children are to be circumcised. But Paul comes along and says, circumcision is nothing. In other words, if you're circumcised, you're not a better Christian. And if you're not circumcised, you're not a worse Christian. It doesn't really have any effect. It was the law said to circumcise, but when we cross to the New Testament, it says now you're supposed to cut away the flesh from your life, not just this organ on man, but you're supposed to cut away the flesh from your life, which, you know, the Bible says our three enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our flesh desires things that are ungodly. And so we've got to cut away the flesh from our life. So that's the way it got more stringent when we moved into the New Testament. So the belief that we can just forget about the law is not really the accurate way to look at it. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about was the Sabbath, okay? Because of that statement Jesus made that I didn't really understand. So the same thing happened with the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, we were to rest one day a week from our work. But that changed in the New Testament to something more stringent. And I just want to read a couple, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read a couple of scriptures about the Sabbath. Okay, this is Luke chapter 14. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. Now, why do you suppose they were watching Jesus? Because they wanted to catch him doing something wrong. And believe me, they're all watching you too. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Okay, I skipped one. Let me back up. After it says they watched him, it says, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. So Jesus looks over there and he sees this guy that has the dropsy. And instead of just healing him right on the spot, he asks the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? You suppose he knew what they were thinking? So, and they held their peace. Okay, Jesus says to him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, which of you shall have an axe or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? So Jesus was exposing them for something, okay, their religious beliefs. And when Jesus says, which of you having an ox and an ass, guess who the axe and the ox was he was talking about? Us, okay? In other words, that's what we are to Jesus. You know, we're his ass and his oxes, you know, and that's because we're stubborn and we're slow. You know, in the lumberjack days, they used to pull the timber out of the forest with a team of oxen. And there was one guy that was in charge of the ox. And he had what was called an ox goad. It was a big old thick stick that was sharpened on the end. And he had to poke them to get them to move. Because ox by nature, they don't want to have to do anything. They just want to stand around and eat grass or lay down or whatever. And so that's one of the reasons why we're Jesus's ox and asses, is sometimes he has to poke us to get us to do what he wants to do. So next time he pokes you, remember that. So anyway, let's see, where was I? Okay, so he's exposing them, because what do you think would happen if one of the Pharisees or the Sadducees, let's say they farmed also, which I'm sure a lot of them did, and let's say they had a mule that plowed their ground up, and that mule was what caused them to earn their living. Do you think if that mule fell into some mud pit on a Sabbath day, do you think they'd pull him out or just let him die? They'd pull him out, right? So that's what Jesus was saying is, you know, when my ass or ox needs work, help on the Sabbath day, I give it to him, and you would do it too. And so, you know, it was a religious thing that they were going by, okay? So Jesus was exposing them for who they were. Now I want to read one more scripture about the Sabbath. Let's see. Okay, and this is where he made that statement I was talking about. This is Mark 2, start with 25. And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Okay, and that was the statement that had me a little confused. So what the Sabbath was in the Old Testament was man was to rest from his work for one day. When we cross that over into the New Testament, it changes a little bit. It's not that you rest from your work. It's that you rest from your works, okay? Your works is totally different. And works is not just the plural of work. In other words, if you're a carpenter, that didn't mean you're supposed to not drive nails, not saw wood, not pour cement. That's not the way the plural of work is in this context. When it says you're to rest from your works, it means you're to rest from your thing. You're supposed to rest from doing your thing, and you're supposed to enter this rest that God has created for you. And, you know, have you read the scripture that says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? Do you know that this whole earth, man, animal, trees, we're all groaning. We're all waiting for this manifestation, finally, of the sons of God to come forth. And, you know, I believe that's one of the biggest reasons why drugs are so rampant. People are wanting to get out of feeling this pressure of that, you know, this world has gone away and I'm not who I should be. And you know, they just don't want to have to deal with it so they can get out of it by taking drugs. Because it's a very real thing, this groaning and travailing. You know, the earth, the animals know it. I don't know if you've ever heard Sandy Patty. She's a famous Christian singer. She sang a song one time about Jesus, and one of the words says, did the earth rejoice to feel you again? You know, what a thought, you know, that this whole creation really, we're this rest that God has provided for us, we haven't fully entered it yet, but God wants us to. And another scripture that kind of comes to my mind is Jesus one time said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Now, I think a farthing is like a half a cent or something. So when Jesus said, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, what was he saying? He was saying, sparrows aren't worth much. And yet, not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing it. So if God cares for these little birds that are worth about 1/5 of a cent each, how much do you suppose he cares for you? God loves us. God, so this Sabbath was made for man. It wasn't made for man to use it for some selfish, self-serving type or religion. The Sabbath was made for man to come into this rest that God has provided for us. So that's what we need to have in our minds. You know, all these things in the Old Testament transfer into the New Testament, and they're more stringent because now it's just like murder. It says, thou shall not commit murder. Is that why you don't kill people? Because there's some law saying you shouldn't? No, we don't kill people because we know it's the wrong thing to do. So it's not a law that constrains us anymore. It's not that we're under that law. Now we're above that law. We don't do it because those laws have been written in our hearts and we know right from wrong and good from evil, which this world happens to be struggling with right now. Anyway, so that's it, brethren. God bless. I just wanted to share that little bit with you. Amen.
And can I add one more little thing, Mike?
Absolutely.
Jesus is the rest. And we fulfill that Sabbath by entering into him. Simple as that.
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to bring forth.
Amen. It hit me quite good, Mark. About the Sabbath. To realize that when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he is also speaking to us when he said, peace be with you. That means that he was speaking the word and he said, my word is a spirit and they are alive. So when he spoke and said this word, peace be with you, he was speaking the Sabbath into our life, into our soul. And I think we should do more of this when we speak to one another, call one another and say, peace be with you, brother. When you are in trouble, peace be with you, brother. When you are sick of COVID and disease that is troubling you, peace be with you, brother. And when you are arguing with your wife or husband, peace be with you. And when you are frustrated, peace be with you. And when you are afraid, peace be with you. And always let this word of Christ come forth as the spirit and the life from you to one another. Peace be with you. Everything that is happening in our life that is bothering us, peace be with us. And may we stay and live and be in this peace of God. May the peace of God be with you when you go out, and may the peace of God be with you when you come in. When John got the revelation in the book of Revelation, it was in the Sabbath day, it was in the Lord's day, and he saw all these things. This was a revelation that God gave Jesus. Jesus, when he was ministering on earth, he was watching every day in Sabbath, every day in the day of God. The day of God is a day of Sabbath. It is a day of rest. And when we go out and when we go in our daily life, walking in the peace of God, we are coming into the Lord's days. We are coming into his Sabbath even before the time, brethren. Nothing can touch us. There is a trouble outside. We hear the noise of war everywhere in the world. Peace be with you. Let nothing take that peace away from you. And if you feel that you are lacking of peace, call one another. And just to hear this voice from one another into our soul, peace be with you. In Jesus' name.
When Daniel was talking about peace, a thought came to my mind about this burden that we're all feeling and groaning. And that was, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden.
Amen. Well, thank you, brethren. Thank you so much for that word. I'm going to turn that recording off now. Oh, wait a minute. I have to stop the old one. There.